to Luke 21, probably for many a familiar verse of scripture. We've read it before, we've heard it before, we've used it before to encourage a brother or a sister or even ourselves. In Luke 21, in answer to their question related to the end of the age, the end of the world, what will it be like? How will we know it's coming? Jesus reveals to his disciples all that will occur. And after he has shared with them the different things that will take place, the signs of the end, he concludes and leaves them with this. Luke 21 and verse 28. So when all these things begin to happen, look up, for your salvation is near. Lift up your heads, your redemption draweth nigh, the King James says. A very simple message this morning, but if I'm honest, it's one I often need to hear, instruction that I often need to be reminded of. So let me remind you this morning, let me speak it to you so that you can hear it again. Look up, for your salvation is near. Look up. Last Saturday, my grandma passed away. On Friday, we were at the funeral home, and yesterday was funeral service day. I think I shared it with you probably last week. I would do it again, though, this morning because it's so true. How wonderful it is to have a funeral day where we don't just remember one's life, but as well, we get to celebrate one's homegoing. And we did that yesterday. But wow, how hard it still was. We do not mourn as those who have no hope, but we do still mourn, don't we? For us, for me, grandma is gone. And that's hard to say. It's hard to deal with. Life is different now. Family is different now. Grandma's gone. No doubt about it. It hurts the heart to have to say that. Maybe it was because it was in my heart and on my mind related to this morning. But over the last few days, and especially Friday, as we're there in the funeral home and there at the front in the casket, my grandma, and yesterday, maybe most of all, I discovered this. I was reminded of this. When I looked around that funeral home and saw family with tears in their eyes, there was grief that came to my heart. It's probably true amongst many family members. Laughter can be contagious. Maybe you have a sibling that, man, when they started laughing, you didn't even know what you're laughing about, but you started laughing. I think sometimes crying can be contagious. I think it is in the Tanner family. Many of us are good, but if we catch somebody in the family crying, we don't even know what they're crying about, but all of a sudden we start to break down as well. So I look around the room and I see my aunts, my uncles, my dad, of course, and see their grief and begin to experience that even myself, sort of experiencing that for them, experiencing it with them. I found this to be true when I looked up to the front of that room and saw my grandma lying there in the casket. There were tears that came to my own eyes. There was grief that came to my own heart. But, and many of us will know this to be true from our own experience with a loved one who has passed away in the Lord, comfort came as I reminded myself, she's not there. Lying in the casket, dead and gone forever? No, she's not there. So what? Don't look there. Look up. Because grandma now in the presence of the Lord, what we see there, the outer shell, and what we see there, all that would remind us of her, all the memories shared, but, and naturally there would come the grief of that and the mourning of no more new memories and no more going to grandma's house and all of that it would mean for me and for the rest of the cousins. But in that moment of grief where the heart is broken and looking even around the room, but wait, it was almost like I wanted to shout to the room, though I understand again the grieving, shout to the room, but she's not there. Don't look there. Don't look around. Look up. And when I found that I could get myself to do that, to be reminded of that, I discovered when I looked around, there was grief and mourning. When I looked up, there came comfort and joy, rejoicing, celebration. You don't need me to tell you what a tumultuous world we live in. There is strife, there's animosity, there's violence, there's hatred, there's bigotry, there's danger at every turn. What a dangerous world we live in. We get letters, it'll happen 3, 4, 5, 6 times during the school year, not just related to Flushing, but other school districts. Hey, Clyle Schools is reporting some stranger approached a bunch of kids and they ran away. We're just putting the word out so parents, you can be aware. Isn't it true anymore? We're scared to death to send our kids out and we're worried because we understand full well all the danger that exists. We're almost scared ourselves. Some of us have confined ourselves to only going certain places during the daytime. And maybe some wisdom in that. Some of us, we're not even go there anymore. We're going to go out of our way to go somewhere else because we're so cognizant of the danger. We're so aware of the danger. There's war. There's a threat of war. My dad, of course, has been in town and for a few days he was staying with us. And one morning while the kids were getting ready for school, we were both sitting waiting for them and we were both on our computer. I was on mine. He was on his. And I think kind of a little bit out of humor because we were both there and checking email and checking the news headlines. My dad commented, I wake up every morning and check the news to see whether or not we're at war with North Korea yet. This is the day and age we live in. Always on the very brink of war. And for some of us, maybe you find yourself like me, in a lot of ways, I find myself only turning to the news to see whether or not something terrible has happened. To find out what the next tragedy is that's occurred now. What devastation has taken place. Find myself looking to the headlines, fully expecting that someone again has gone on a killing rampage. Someone again has blown something up. That's the dangerous, that's the tragic and tragedy-filled world that we live in. There's injustice, there's economic trouble, there's disasters everywhere, fires, hurricanes, earthquakes, tornadoes, it's all around us. And closer to home, you don't need me to tell you this morning the troubles of our own lives. In this world, you will have trouble. Jesus said it. Wow, how we live in it. Trouble. Trouble all around us. Trouble. Some of you know it's true because I know your story and there's real trouble even in your life right now. This is the very simple message for you and for me this morning. Look around you. See the trouble. All the trouble. And you'll be consumed by worry, by fear, by grief, anger, stress, tension, agitated, annoyance, disgust, disappointment, frustration, dread, discouragement, despair, hopelessness. Look around you. You will panic and you'll be most pessimistic. Seeing only the trouble around you, you will go through life always something to be miserable about, always miserable. So here it is. Very simply put, don't look around you. Look up! Look up and experience the joy and the wonder and the celebration and the glory of your God in heaven. Look up and be strengthened by Him. Look up and experience His blessing and His goodness in your life. I'm going to speak the truth as it is this morning. Some of you are very good looking all around you. And if you don't know it, just ask us and we'll tell you that you are. Because truth be told, all you have to offer is something to complain about, something to be miserable about. Oh, the trouble I'm in. Oh, the trouble, Pastor, you not believe the trouble I'm going through. And you understand this morning, don't miss it. We are brothers and sisters. We are here to pray for one another. This is a place where you freely share your troubles and we pray for you. But listen, truth be told, there's a difference between calling on the church to pray for your troubles and you being consumed by your troubles. And I'm just telling the truth. You know it. You don't need me probably to say it. You know it. Even as we've talked so far this morning, some of us were consumed by the trouble because stress and tension and agitation. That's you. That's where you live 24/7. Fear, frustration, dread, discouragement, grief, anger. That's you. That's you all the time. Those are the emotions. Listen, that's normal for you. Every now and then, God does something good in your life and bumps you up to a little bit of joy. But the default for you is to live in those words. And I'm going to tell you this morning, we'll get to it in a minute, and we'll talk about, listen, look up, your salvation is near. God is our deliverer, isn't He? He is our provider. But I'm just telling you this morning, before some of us need to worry about having our situation change, we need to worry about having our focus change from the things around us to looking up. I'm telling you right now, whether or not the Lord comes through for you today, tomorrow, next week, I'm telling you, you don't have to live in worry, fear, grief, stress, tension, annoyance, frustration, discouragement, despair. You don't have to live in hopelessness because you look up. Until the deliverance comes, can I just say it that way? I pray for you, it's today. But until it comes, look up. Your salvation is near. Just a couple of things this morning. To look up is to look to God. So look to the Lord for help. This is good for us to do that. I've been reminded of this of late. You know, sometimes we have to do things we don't want to do. We have to do things we're not good at doing. Sometimes we have to go through things we don't want to go through. We have to face things. We have to deal with things that we're not very good at dealing with. And I have a tendency in my own life to sort of buckle down in those moments. Sort of, I've got to do this. I've got to make this happen and to sort of bear the brunt of that burden, if you will. I don't want to, but I have to. I've got a job to do. I've got a responsibility. I don't want it. I'm no good at it, but I have to do it. You know, maybe there's times where I get through. Maybe there's times where I get it done. But it's a struggle every step of the way. It's demoralizing every step of the way. It's physically, emotionally, spiritually draining every step of the way. I know it sounds very strange, but truth be told, what I often forget, to look up, to look to the Lord for help. We think it good. Hey, Pastor, that's a great attitude. You don't want to do something, but man, it's time to buckle down. Let's do it. Let's make it happen. That's great. You should be saying, Pastor, that's foolishness. Go to the Lord. Look up. He'll help you. He'll deliver you. He'll give you strength. You don't have to bear that. You don't have to do that. Look to the Lord for help. He'll see you through what you're going through. I've just been reminded of this of late and just some things going on. There was a couple of weeks, maybe a week and a half or so ago, and I was just in the office, and it was one of those things. I just got to do this. I don't want to. I'm no good at it. It's going to take me forever. Who knows? It might not even be done right in the end. And there was just something that spoke to my spirit in that moment. If I've got to do this, if it is, in other words, it's not just something I can hand off. Don't we love passing off all the hard work, right? I'm very good at passing off. The kids start to get misbehaved. Jenny, I got to go to the office. Jenny, the kids. We have a tendency to the difficult thing. Oh, I want to get rid of it. Why do we want to get rid of it? Why aren't we willing to give it to the Lord instead? And trust Him, let Him walk us through to the victory, even through the difficult thing. Because sometimes, listen, sometimes God calls us to the difficult. This that I'm talking to you about, I believe it's the Lord's will. I believe it's the Lord's desire. But boy, I don't want to do it. I wish there was someone I could hand it off to, but I just don't think there is. So that moment in the office, just something that rose up in my spirit, and it was just sort of, forget it. You know what I did? Come to the sanctuary to pray. You know what I did? I looked up. I looked up. God, if I'm doing this, I'm going to trust in you. God, if I'm doing this, I'm looking to you for help. God, if I'm doing this, I need you. God, if I'm doing this, you're going to have to strengthen. You're going to have God give wisdom. You're going to have to give the wisdom. I don't have a clue what I'm doing. I'm going to mess it all up. God, you're going to have to come through. I looked up. I looked to the Lord for help. I'm reminded of the story in 2 Kings chapter 19. Hezekiah is the king of Judah and the Assyrians are attacking. And they basically write a letter to Hezekiah. You're a dead man. No other city, no other country, no other people has withstood our attack, has withstood our power. You know what Hezekiah does? He looks up and he marches into the temple with that letter. And it's as if he just takes that letter and lays it at the altar. And I love the picture. He just stands back and crosses arms. Now, God, what are you going to do about that? Hezekiah looks up. I'm sure Hezekiah, he's a man. I'm sure there's a little bit of panic. I'm sure there's a little bit of worry. I'm sure there's a little bit of discouragement, a little bit of hopelessness. But in the end, Hezekiah does right. He looks up and he lays that letter before the Lord. And God does bring salvation to his people. You can read the rest of the story in 2 Kings. We need to be reminded of that. Even as I'm sharing it with you this morning, I'm reminded of it again. I'm remembering a couple of weeks ago when I came in here to the sanctuary for prayer. I'm wondering, though, how much have I been looking to the Lord for help since then? You look to the Lord for help. Look up. Learn to depend on Him. That's learning to be humble before Him. That in and of ourselves, no way, no how. We need Him. So we humble ourselves before Him. We depend on Him. We look to Him. James chapter 4, the writer of James tells us God opposes the proud, but He favors the humble. The word there, favor, it's grace. He gives grace to the humble. And many translations, maybe more accurate, He gives more grace. Really, the picture is this. He gives grace and He keeps on giving grace. He gives favor and He keeps on giving favor to the humble. Grace upon grace upon grace. Favor upon favor upon favor to those who depend on Him. Those who look to Him. Those who look up. Learn to take hold of the invitation of Scripture. Cast your cares on Him, for He cares for you. Psalm 20 and verse 7. Some trust in chariots, some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. They are brought to their knees and fall. but we rise up and stand firm. Listen, some of you this morning, speak to your heart. You're trusting in yourself like I'm inclined to do. Going to buckle down, going to make this work, going to find the answer, going to do what's right. Some of us are trusting in ourselves. Some of you, you're miserable because you're still waiting for somebody to come through. You're waiting for the doctor to find out what the problem is. You're waiting for your banker to fix the financial problem. You're waiting for your kids to start acting right. And the Lord would say to you this morning, listen, when are you going to start trusting in me though? When are you going to look up? Some trust in horses, some in chariots, but our trust is in the name of the Lord our God. They're brought to their knees and fall, but we rise up and stand firm. Psalm 121, I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He'll not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Verse 5, the Lord watches over you. He's your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going both now and forevermore. The Lord is your helper. Look to Him today. Look up. Look up is to look to God. Second for us this morning, it's to receive from God. Look up and receive from the Lord today. Do you remember James and John walking to the temple, and there the lame man? And Peter and John, hey, look at us. And the lame man, he looks at them expecting to receive something from them. Can I encourage you this morning? Look up. Listen, can I bless you with this that I believe is the invitation from the Lord today? He calls your name from heaven. Linda, Joe, hey Joe, hey Lucille, hey Rose. May you and I, may we do like the lame man did. We look up expecting to receive something from Him because our salvation is near. The deliverance, the help, the hope that we have in the Lord, that He will come through for us. Luke 21, look up. Your salvation's near. Listen, hear me today. Receive from the Lord His salvation today. James chapter 4, God opposes the proud, but favors the humble. Look up. Receive from the Lord His grace, His favor upon favor upon favor upon favor today. Psalm 20, some trust in chariots, horses, we trust in the Lord. They're brought to their knees, fall. We rise up and stand firm. Psalm 127, I lift my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Look up. And receive from the Lord His help today so that you might rise up and stand firm. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, Paul says this, therefore we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we're wasting away, yet inwardly we're being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So, we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. If I just paraphrase for you this morning, we look up, for what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Look up and be renewed today. Receive from the Lord renewal for your heart, for your mind, for your spirit. I'm reminded of last Sunday, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Receive that from the Lord today. Receive a renewal of strength. Receive His joy. Receive His comfort, His peace, His encouragement. I think sometimes we look around us and we get angry and we get frustrated with the people around us. Listen to me. Maybe some need to hear it this morning. We forget our struggle is not with flesh and blood. I'm just going to challenge you this morning. I'm going to push a little bit this morning. I don't know why you're complaining all the time about them. You should be complaining about the devil. I don't know why you're always so frustrated and angry with them. You should be angry at the devil. I don't know why you don't like them. I don't know why you don't want to be around them. I don't know why you let them get to you. You should be angry at the devil. You should be in warfare with the devil. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood. It's against the devil. I think our tendency is to get angry, to get frustrated with people. We look around us. We see the world as it is. We let it impact us, influence us. We need to look up. How about this morning? So that we might receive his heart. His heart for people. His heart for the hurting. His heart for the oppressed. I know there are the poor among us that maybe get themselves there. I know that there are the poor among us that get caught up in drugs and alcohol. They lose their job, end up living on the street. They can't hold a job and they can't do anything because they drink it all away or they drug it all away. I'm still going to tell you this morning, before our tendency to get frustrated with them, our heart should be as God's heart is. God has a heart for the poor, for the widowed, for the orphaned. Can I challenge you? Can I push a little harder this morning? God has a heart for the sinner. I know they drive you nuts. Their wickedness, it's unspeakable. The things that's going on in this world today and that people are doing today, unimaginable. But God still loves the sinner. And listen to me. He is still mighty to save. It is still true that God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. And though the reality of God's wrath and the reality of God's judgment holds true, and Jesus and Luke, he's talking about when God's wrath is going to be poured out. We can't deny it. We can't ignore it. We still today live in an age of God's grace and God's mercy. We are not there yet. And God's heart still beats for the sinner. So we look to him. Some of you this morning, your heart is cold towards people. You have been hurt too much. You have seen too much happen. Maybe it was a certain person. Maybe it was a group of people. Maybe it's how you perceive a generation. Your heart is cold towards them. You need to look up so that you might receive his heart and be tender towards those that God is tender towards. I think sometimes we look around us and we become hopeless. The world's too far gone. Best that we just sort of hide ourselves amongst like-minded believers and try our best to weather the storm until Jesus comes. Maybe some this morning need to look up so that we might receive from the Lord significance again, purpose again. Listen to me. You are not one in some 7 billion people on the planet. If you think you are, you need to look up. You are a child of the King. You are a mighty warrior dressed for battle. The spiritual DNA of Jesus is in you. The same spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives inside of you. You're a servant of the eternal God, a vessel of honor by which the God of heaven and earth gets glory. And as the Father sent Jesus, so Jesus sends us, one of 7 billion. No. You are a sent one. And the one who has all power and all authority goes with you, commissions you to go and in his power and in his authority destroy the works of the devil. Hopeless this morning, discouraged, ready to give up on the world in which we live. I'm telling you, you need to look up. Because you're a world changer. God will work through you, give of you his spirit and his anointing and his power so that you might go and speak life and to the death that's so pervasive throughout this world. Look up. Receive the empowerment to bring hope to a hopeless people. Receive from the Lord today. I believe it. I'm confident of it with all my heart. The Lord's invitation for us this morning to look up so that we can receive from Him. He is good, and what He does is good. And the Lord, I would believe this morning, is ready and wanting to do good in you and in me. Look up. Look to God, receive from God, and we'll finish here this morning. Look up so that you might be ready for God. When Jesus says it in Luke, look up, your salvation is near. It's in the context of the end. Your salvation is near because He is near. So when you see all the signs happening, the purpose of them to make you look up because you're looking for Him, because you're ready for Him. Look up. Your King is coming. He's coming soon. You're a child of that King. You're a citizen of His kingdom. You've taken His name. Are you living like it? Is your life guided by the rules of conduct for here or for there? Are you consumed by the pursuit of treasure here or for there? Do you understand this morning? Some of us, we need to look up and be reminded again, heaven is our home. Jesus is our King. We are commissioned and called by the Most High God. We are making our way there. That's the promised land that we live for. Treasures here, the moth, the rust, the thief breaks in and steals it all. But there, eternal treasures that await us. Look up. Your King is coming. He's coming soon. May He find us to be faithful servants. Matthew 24 says this, blessings on you if I return and find you faithfully doing your work. The Message says it this way, someone the Master can drop in on unannounced and always find him doing his job. A God-blessed man or woman, I tell you. If God were to drop in unannounced on us, what might He find in your life? What might He find consuming your calendar or your checkbook? And listen, lest you miss it this morning, I'm not talking about all of us just terrible sinners. I'm just going to ask this morning, is He going to find enough of Himself? If God looks on your calendar, is He going to even find His name anywhere on it? If He looks through your checkbook, is He going to find anything designated towards Him, towards His kingdom? If God looks at how you're living your Monday, tomorrow, and your Tuesday, then next, is He going to find room for Himself in any of it? We're reserving Him just for Sunday, our time from 10:30 to noon with Him. Look up. Look up. Your King is coming. He's coming soon. May He find us, you and me, faithfully doing what He's called us to, faithfully doing, diligently doing, always doing the job that He's given to us. Look up. Your King is coming. He's coming soon. Are you ready for Him? Again, Paul's words in 2 Corinthians, we don't lose heart. Outwardly, we're wasting away. Inwardly, we're being renewed. Our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that outweighs all of it. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. We fix our eyes on heaven. We look up. The Message puts it this way. So we do not look at what we can see right now, the troubles all around, but we look forward to the joys in heaven, which we've not seen. The troubles will soon be over, but the joys to come last forever. To look up is to live our lives more and better in light of eternity. Yesterday, for my grandma's funeral, Pastor Matuzzo from Riverside Tabernacle shared a message, and he related how back in the day, no cell phones, no other way of communicating except for mom yelling from the front porch, time to come in, dinner time. But he shared, and many might be able to relate, you knew it was time to go home when the street lights came on. Didn't need mom yelling for you. Didn't need a cell phone texting. When the street lights came on, it's time to go home. And he shared how last Saturday the lights came on for my grandma. It's time to go home. And he encouraged and challenged all of us in the room yesterday. The lights will come on for all of us one day. May we live our lives ready for that moment. Lights come on. Don't be afraid. Don't be worried. Don't be intimidated. It's time to go home. But now, today, we look up. We live our lives in light of that day, so that when it comes, the Master finds us ready. And we share the good news of Jesus with those that we know. Lights will come on for all of us one day. For your son, for your daughter, for your friend, your neighbor, your grandkids, your brother, your sister, your aunt, your uncle, the colleagues at work. Lights will come on for all of us one day. Oh, church, may we find courage today and motivation today that we would share our lives with others so that they might be ready for that day. No fear, no worries, not intimidated. It's just time to go home. We share the good news of Jesus. We go and make disciples because the King is coming. We live our lives looking up, recognizing the King is coming. He's coming soon. And we make ourselves ready, and we make all those that we would know and all those that we would encounter to be ready as well. This last week, Friday, yesterday, I was reminded to be careful about looking too much around and to be better at looking up. And it's brought strength, comfort, and joy to this little bit of a grieving heart. This morning, I would pray simply that the reminder does the same for you. Look up. Some of you, to put it a little bit more bluntly, stop looking around you. It's making you miserable. You know it is. You're consumed with what you see around you. Stop being miserable. Stop looking all around and look up. Look to the Lord. Receive from Him. May all of us today make ourselves a little bit more ready for Him. Father, I pray this morning that You would speak to each and every heart in this room. We don't make light of our troubles. You never did. You knew that we would have